It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Good morning to everybody out there watching us on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate all along, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance. You got the dealer. A shout out to everybody out there texting in on the Comcast Business Text Line. Everybody out there driving in the rain, drive safely. I saw a bad accident on the 380 101 merger coming in this morning, man. Right away, fire trucks. I'm like, man, am I going to have to get off the freeway? Bad accident there. So drive safely in this rain, man.
380 to 101. Oh, yeah, okay.
380 to 101.
You were going 280 to 380 to 101. Okay, no, I got on
380. You know, at El Camino, you get on the 380 and then get to 101.
Oh, boom. Okay, yep. I see. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And so the old really bad. Five. Yeah, that was really, really, really rough there. So. Just drive safely, man. Like, even last night, I was driving like 50 miles an hour on the way home. I was like, this is just not worth it. It's not worth it.
You know it's bad when your windshield wipers are going,
No doubt. People are like, high beeping me. I was like, dude, I'm only going 55.
Yeah, seriously, go around.
Go around. Anyway, let's get to Cam Emmett as he joins us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Our good friend Cam Emmett, who, of course, has the book, The Franchise, chronicling the 49ers history. A really good book there. I'm diving into it halfway through. Cam, good morning to you. Of course, he's with the Bay Area News Group. And you know what? We get to Purdy and Love and the 49ers and Bosa and all this stuff here. But I saw on Twitter...
Uh-oh.
You're very critical of the why nine. It's a conversation that we've had as we talk about the lack of adjustments the Niners made against Seattle in the loss 20-17 this past Sunday. Look at the Shanahan and everything about that, but I want to start with the why nine and defensive scheme. Cam, is it time for a change?
I don't know if you have to do a wholesale change. I just like to see them mix it up a little bit more. You know, some of Bosa's best rushes this season was when he's been twisting inside off the wide nine and hiding behind guys. It just seems like it's become a little too predictable. And I guess the thing that kind of just stuck with me after last game against watching Geno Smith do this was, you know, he's able to cut inside, cut underneath it and run for a touchdown. And it reminded me, you know, Kyler Murray did the same thing, and they had trouble with Patrick Mahomes. It's just like, if there's these escape hatches in this scheme and they're getting killed in some games with it, you got to figure it out and solve it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You referenced Bosa. What is going on? I mean, he gets that sack. He comes up.
You can
see that he's grimacing and hurting on the side. And he's saying it's more of an oblique. I guess the television broadcast was explaining it's more of an oblique than it is a hip. And then he plays one more snap, and then he comes out. What's going on currently with Nick Bosa?
Yeah, so Bosa basically, I love the terminology when he was finally getting to it. He just says it's an upper body. It's not like the core groin area that he had to have surgery on back in 2018. So, I mean, that's a good news. But, it obviously is hurting him. I mean, we saw in Tampa, it was the right side. And almost after every play, he was, like, grabbing at it. And then... this last game, he gets a sack and then he stays in for one more play and it's the other side. And so, I mean, Nick Bosa's got muscles all over the place, right? And he knows his body, like, down to the every little fiber. So he knows what he's going through. I thought it was encouraging that he said yesterday it's feeling a little better. And, you know, he was able to play through it last week, but at the same time, if this guy is, like, whole upper torso, he can't twist at all, and he's not just going to be bull-rushing straight ahead into Jordan Love. It gives me a lot of concern whether he's going to be available against Green Bay.
That could be a big blow for the 49ers as we're talking to Cam Emmett here on the River Islands Guest Line. And the quarterback is day-to-day. He didn't throw yesterday.
No.
Is there a chance... we're going to watch Brandon Allen and Joshua Dobbs on a frozen tundra at Lambeau Field, Cam?
The Niners have been carrying four quarterbacks all season because you got Tanner Mordecai on the practice squad too. And it's like, well, you know, I understand why they're doing the depth. We all saw what happened in Philly, right? And you don't want to relive that. And it's like yesterday, it was almost a reliving it because you're watching Brock Purdy run around without throwing a pass in practice. And he threw an underhand shovel pass to the equipment manager, and I go, oh, I'm having flashbacks to Philly. That's not good. But at the same time, so he was out there moving around. So that means there is a good chance that he's going to be able to go. And Brock's been really durable. Obviously, he came back from the elbow injury last year and threw for a record, you know, record yards. But, I mean, there's some things about just the 49ers passing attack that is concerning to me. And I know that, like Kyle said, that this shoulder sprain or whatever it is happened from a hit on Sunday. But Brock has not aired it out much over the last couple of weeks. He has not thrown a pass over 20 yards, I think, the last two games. And he hasn't thrown one over 25 yards since week four. So it's like, what's going on? Are the receivers not getting open downfield? Does he not have time to do it? You know, I don't suspect that there's a more serious injury to it. Let me put it that way, because if you go back, I think, 3 years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo hurt his shoulder against the Cowboys and then gutted through it, and they're like, their next two playoff games obviously didn't do great. So I don't think it's anything too serious, but at the same time, anytime it's a quarterback and an arm is involved, it's cause for concern. So if they were just resting him yesterday, terrific. It's a Wednesday. It's an install practice. Today's the bigger debate because Thursday is their more rigorous practice. He's going to be having a lot of wind at his back or throwing into the wind because it's going to be gusty down in Santa Clara. But, you know, I saw a picture today out of Green Bay, and there is snow on the ground in Lambeau waiting for the Niners. It's going to be cold. It's going to be freezing temperatures again. But, again, last visit, that worked out okay for them. They just didn't score an offensive touchdown to beat the Packers in that playoff game. I wonder if they're going to have to this time.
How many snow games has Purdy played in college? Because I don't think he has any in the NFL. I mean, I know he had, like, it was very cold and wet in, obviously, in Levi's and in Philadelphia on the road. There's been other games, but, like, snow like that, is there any games?
I would be more, honestly, I'd be more concerned with his shoulder than what the weather is, you know. I think the wet, the wind is a bigger issue than the snow. Okay. But guess what? I mean, after Green Bay is Buffalo. And I think one of the bigger questions with Brock Purdy is, how does he do in the cold weather games? And it's not just Brock Purdy. This offense has not been in sync all season. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because Debo, I was going to bring up this Debo quote. I'm glad you said this. Debo says on a podcast, this right here, about his disappointing season.
This year, for sure. Me personally, me being, want to be one of the, you know, kind of be, want to be my best self as much as possible. Especially as a whole, as a group, kind of hit on it. Like, losing games that, you know, we don't supposed to lose. And we put ourselves in positions, like, put our back against the wall at times. And just look at from top to bottom, like, one of the best rosters in the league. It's just like, it gets frustrating because, like, we know what we're capable of. We got to finish games. You know, we got to be the Niners that everybody knows that, you know, we are. And it kind of gets frustrating at times when you don't win those games. And
right. You
kind of be like, yo, like, why we keep putting ourselves in these positions and, like, putting our back against the wall? And now every game that we play, it's just like, you got to treat it like your last. Even though you treat every game like that, but it's really like, yo, if we don't win this game, then, you know, we'll be in some trouble.
That was Debo on the Up and Adams podcast saying that this year is his most disappointing season. What'd you make of that, Cam?
I fully agree. I'm just sitting there yesterday going, man, this might be the most underachieving team I've covered of the Niners in 25 years.
Wow.
It is. They should be finishing these games. They have better rosters than the other teams, but they just aren't a better team. There's like, and it's not just one guy you can point to and say, get him out of the lineup, or one coach say, this guy's screwing up. It seems like every game there's something different. And you know, for, gosh, a stretch there, what, 9 games, it was like every game there was a special team mistake, but it wasn't the same guy making the mistake. And then you compound that with penalties and injuries, and those are hallmarks of bad teams. So this team, yes, they're coming off a Super Bowl loss. That's usually a big red flag for teams, but they have a lot of the same core personnel, especially offensively. Now that you have McCaffrey in the mix, everybody's figuring, okay, everything's going to be fine and dandy, but it's not. And, you know, then you have certain injuries that you're watching for. Certain players aren't playing well. Debo obviously is not having a good year. I don't think he's having as terrible a year as we look at from the outside, because I did the story on Debo last week where I went back and looked at every single one of his touches, whether he was carrying the ball or catching it, and it wasn't as statistically as bad as you'd think it would be. It wasn't great, but they needed more out of him with Brandon Ayuk out for the season, and that compounded, I think, with Debo too, is like, you know, he and Ayuk are tight, and you know, to lose him, that affects the whole receiving core. It's like, remember we were talking like whether Ricky Pearsall is like the next guy, he's ready to go. Well, that's asking too much for a rookie. And, you know, he didn't have any catches last game. And it's like Brock was like, no, I'm going to Juwan Jennings or McCaffrey. I don't blame Brock whatsoever, because Juwan Jennings is, he's having a tremendous year when he's out there. Big body guy that's going to give you that second, third effort that you want to kind of get going.
You know, you bring up Juwan Jennings. I think he's going to win the Lynn Eschmann Award winner. But you also brought up how this may be the most disappointing team you've covered in 25 years. So where does that leave Kyle Shanahan? Because we've had to debate this week, you know, Mason maybe getting more carries or getting Garrido on the field because he has speed. And the word I kept going back to this past week against Seattle was slow. They just look so slow on offense. No explosiveness, whether it's from McCaffrey, Jennings, Debo, Pearsall, whatever the case was, it just felt slow and stale. So with Shanahan, how disappointing has it been from a coaching standpoint with Kyle Shanahan? And what do you think he needs to evolve in or evolve with moving forward?
I agree. I totally agree with, like, because, like, the start of last game, it's like, what are you waiting for? Let's get moving here. It's like, this isn't, you know, we've seen, you know, him for about 7.5 years now, and obviously he kind of sets up his plays for later in the game, right? But at the same time, you need to come out and just get the momentum going and show some confidence and kind of get Purdy in a rhythm, because they haven't been in a rhythm. At the same time, everybody's got to back off. I think Kyle Shanahan is the best coach for them going forward. And so yesterday in the locker room, I asked a few guys, a few big guys on that team, how Kyle's doing. Because I don't sense that he's losing the locker room or his message is getting stale. Kyle's message is it evolves, because what he does in team meetings, he points out what's gone wrong and tells you how to fix it. He's very much more of a teacher and instructor than a drill sergeant that just rant and raven for no reason. Like there's a reason to his message. So George Kittle, I pulled him aside afterwards. I said, you know, what's the deal with Kyle? How's he doing? He said, well, he was concerned too. He went and checked in on him on Monday, and he said, I've seen Kyle in a bad place, and he's not in a bad place. He's doing all right. But he's as frustrated as everybody else. So it's not like Kyle's taking this in stride going, everything's cool. To me, these next few games, this is when they need Kyle Shanahan more than ever. They need to tap into his curiosity or his creativity, his leadership. He's got to get the coaches coaching better, the players playing better. This, to me, is a real big test for Kyle Shanahan to see if he can get these guys in playoff condition, because they are not out of it. They are one game out of the NFC West. They beat the Packers. That's going to help them a lot in NFC West or NFC wild card stuff. So I'm really fascinated to see how he does. And at the same time, you know, this is exhausting and taxing on him, just as it is the fans. I mean, he knows this guy gets fans. Remember, he was one.
Right.
And he knows what's demanded, that he knows that Super Bowls are demanded. And so that's why I'm just saying, look around. I don't know who you're going to get that's going to be better than Kyle Shanahan as a head coach.
The fire Shanahan stuff is silly. It's kiddie table stuff. I don't even entertain it. It's just beyond stupid. Some people are just dumber than rocks out there. But when it comes to Shanahan and losing the locker room, you mentioned that you don't believe he's losing the locker room. You heard from George Kittle and you heard from others. Did that surprise you a bit? Did you get the feeling that maybe he may be slipping away from having control of that locker room?
No, because here's why. Because the leadership in that locker room are guys that have been on the team for years, that have been through the playoff runs, right? But I will say this. It is a very different locker room, because you have these core guys that have made their money, gotten their contract extensions, right? They're secure. And then you have this younger wave of talent that's come through. And I wouldn't say there's it's not as harmonious and fluid. It just doesn't seem like there's a great bond yet. because they need to have like the big signature wins. They need to like be able to pull games out and say, hey man, you covered for me, thank you. And that just has not happened, and that's why it's just like they haven't gelled yet the way that other teams do, and they're running out of time to do so.
You think it turns around in Green Bay this Sunday, Cam? What's your gut feeling here?
You know, it's funny because like I do my weekly picks, yeah. Right? I'm having a pretty good year.
I noticed.
Okay, but I've also picked the Niners almost every game. So I'm like, there's a few losses on the record that shouldn't be there, just like the Niners, right? I, for the first time, am picking against the Niners. And the Packers are only favored by 2. But I think the Packers could win by more. If the Niners have issues there with, I mean, look at your injury report. Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, okay? And then McCaffrey's still kind of getting into form. Kittle's coming off a one-game hiatus because of a hamstring. To me, and then it's just, then you're going to have a cold weather game in Lambeau. Packers are doing pretty well. I don't think the Packers are a great team whatsoever.
Me too.
And I don't think Jordan Love's a great quarterback whatsoever. So this definitely could flip. But at the same time, I just don't have a good feeling right now about this team.
All right, Cam. Good stuff as always, man. Always good to hear from you. And have fun in Lambeau Field. Are the Niners going to stay in the Midwest? Or are they going to go to Green Bay then, maybe go to Youngstown, Ohio, or the Greenbrier and then go to Buffalo? Or are they going to come back out to the West Coast?
If this was not Thanksgiving week coming up, I could see them staying. They're coming back. We're all coming back. Pray for me because I'm sure there's no way I'm making all my connections for this Green Bay and then the Buffalo trip. I will be stranded somewhere in America, and everybody alert your friend that I may be knocking on their door or porch.
All right, there it is. Cam Emmon here on the Morning Roast. Good stuff, Cam. Have a good day, buddy.
Thanks, boys. All right, you too.
Stay dry. Cam Emmon, Bay Area News Group, doesn't believe Kyle Shanahan's losing the locker room, but does believe they need to evolve, not only offensively, getting out to a faster start offensively, but also maybe a tweak in the scheme when it comes to the wide nine or not being so predictable when it comes to defense. Nick Sorensen, for whatever reason, just was not blitzing last week. He doesn't believe in a blitz. And even when they do blitz, his body points out. Body's been spot on. He's been pointing this out all season long. Even last year with Steve Wilks, their blitzes are just not creative.
He said something that I thought was, like, my jaw dropped. He's been covering this team for about 25 years, he said. This is the most underachieving team of all the 49er teams he's covered in 25 years.
Pretty remarkable.
Now, the season's not over, right? And I know at one point they were 5-5 a couple years ago, and they went on to go to an NFC Championship game. So we'll see where it goes from here. But when I think of, like, most underachieving, and I know, like, there were a lot of reasons why, but when I think of one, like, heading into the year, 2014 is at the top, right? Now, I'm sure you can come up with other ones, but the 2014 season where you're 7-4, okay, and you lose 4 in a row. And obviously the big loss was the second loss of the 4 in a row to the Raiders, which just like, it just felt like everything was imploding. Patrick Willis was hurt pretty much all year. It was the final year of Justin Smith. Frank Gore was, you know, still playing, but he wasn't necessarily the same. Chris Borland was monstrous that year and then just retires out of nowhere. Alden Smith, he was on the roster but barely played. Antoine Bethea is one of your best players.
Yeah.
Like Harbaugh and Kaepernick just weren't necessarily gelling the same way. It felt like the roster needed an overhaul. Like that to me was the most order. But this one, like, there are guys still in their prime. I know retrospect now, I look back on that 2014 team and I was like, yeah, that was the end of the run. But in real time, I was in denial.
One of the most disappointing seasons, sure. 2014's up there. I look at 2007, the year after they went 7-9 and they won that Thursday night game in Seattle with Alex Smith and Frank Gore, and they lost North Turner to the San Diego Chargers as he became head coach and Jim Hostler was the offensive coordinator. Yet there was a lot of expectations. I'd never forget NFL Network in its early days. Rich Eisen was hosting something. And going into that season, Rich Eisen's like, boy, there's no more room on the 49ers bandwagon. Everybody's high on them. And they go 5-11. And then you think about the 6-10 season in 2010 when they have all this talent. And you think to yourself, boy, we can't make the playoffs. Well, and Jet York's out here tweeting. You have Mike Singletary as a head coach. We did have a little expectation.
We did.
And so,
but we didn't even know who the real quarterback was.
We did, but it was still a massive disappointment with that team. Now, was it the biggest disappointment in the last 25 years? That's all debatable. But it was disappointing. This year has been disappointing so far. And the omens have been there on why this could be a disappointing season. And we've been in denial. I know I have, trying to ignore, like, hey, man, these guys are pros. They've been able to handle things. They've been able to handle adversity. Well, this year, with all the turnover, you're playing young guys like Renardo Green. You're playing Tink Brown. You're playing Malik Mustafa. You're playing Ricky Pearsall. Jacob Cowley's your punt returner. You're playing Dominic Pooty and starting to make right guard. There is a little changing of the guard here in terms of some of the young talent not knowing how to win a big game yet in the NFL. You hope that starts this Sunday, but it has been disappointing. Cam's on it. And now we talk about the evolution of Kyle Shanahan and how he's going to evolve moving forward. And the why nine? There's a lot there with the 49ers. So can a win cure a lot of things here? I think a win will go a long way. It will go a long way. But how many people are actually confident they're going to go to Green Bay and win a game?
Fonte,
I don't think there's a lot of confidence with the 49ers right now.
No, there's not. Like, you heard Cam. He's like, well, we'll find out today about Purdy and Bosa. Purdy and Bosa, not either or, right? And then we know that Fred is a gladiator, but he's been compromised physically. We still don't know what's going on with CMC. Like, he hasn't looked necessarily the same. Yeah, this is you want to talk about inflection point? This is make or break for the season, it feels like.
No, there's no doubt. This is a must win. This is a make or break.
And I know that next week the people are going, well, if they lose to Buffalo, it's like, no. If you go 6-6, like, you're still in the hunt.
Yeah, you could lose to Buffalo because they're an AFC opponent. You need this game for tiebreaker reasons.
Exactly.
And just to get the stink off you from what happened last Sunday in or at Levi Stadium against Seattle. All right, Woody Page is going to join us here. He's with the Denver Gazette now. Not the Denver Post. Denver Gazette. All right. All-time winner on the Ron Horn, of course. We love Woody Page. Colorado Sports Hall of Fame. And we're going to ask about Mike Shanahan and some of the similarities between Mike and Kyle. And Woody Page has been covering the Broncos for a long, long time. How did it end with Mike Shanahan? Because as he got towards, what was he, Mike Shanahan there for over a decade. He won the two Super Bowls back-to-back. They made the playoffs, but then they just started getting bounced in the first round. There was no evolution within his offense, and it ended ugly. It ended ugly with the Washington Commanders. So we'll ask him about some of the similarities between Mike and Kyle, his thoughts on how Mike used to use running backs, and how did he evolve or not evolve as a head coach. So we'll do that with Woody Page coming up here on the other side on the Morning Rush on 85.7 The Game. But we got a few minutes before we get to Woody Page. Here's some of the sound yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on this. Greg Cassell was on with Willard Dibbs yesterday, and he was talking about Brock Purdy. And he was talking about whether or not Brock Purdy is playing as well as he did last year. Shanahan said, yeah, he's playing as well as he did last season. Now, the numbers don't say that. Here's what Greg Cosell had to say about what Shanahan said about Brock Purdy playing as well as he did last season. Oh, and there it is.
First of all, I'd be truly, truly surprised if Kyle truly meant that. He's giving a press conference.
Right.
So he knows. Believe me, he knows. I'll give you an example. On their first third quarter possession, okay, he threw to McCaffrey for 6 yards on 3rd and 15. It was just outside the red zone, so they ended up kicking a field goal. So that was a great example of Purdy just not seeing the game with the same innate, refined, nuanced feel of timing and anticipation that we've come to expect. He had two throws there. He had a seam route to Samuel, and he had Jennings on the high-low with McCaffrey that he would have made last season without even thinking. So instead, he threw a check down to McCaffrey for 6 yards, and he threw it too quick. It was a clean pocket. He just got rid of it quick. And then they kick a field goal instead of perhaps getting a touchdown. There was another case, and see, some of these occur when there's completions. So you don't think of them as, oh, maybe he didn't see it the right way. Because some of them are completions, but there were too many dropbacks in this game in which, to me, and I've been watching the Niners, you know, for years and years and years, as you guys know, in which I do not believe, and again, you know, I'm not talking to Kyle, obviously, but where I believe he just did not process the route concept versus the coverage in the way that he needed to and with the necessary clarity.
20 seconds left, Shasky. What's your thoughts on that explanation for Greg Cosell?
That was kind of my takeaway. I didn't think Purdy played even close to his best game on Sunday. He made a couple of plays here and there. I just thought he felt pressure when there wasn't pressure, and I didn't love who he was throwing to, given what I thought I saw. And I thought he was passing up some stuff. Like he had a corner opportunity to Ricky Pearsall in the red zone that, for whatever reason, he got so jittery and left the pocket, he didn't even allow the play to kind of set itself up. And the old Purdy would have like held that in the pocket and would have stepped into that throw and hit him into the pylon. It wasn't a good game from Purdy. It doesn't mean he sucks. It's just I had a bad game.
Yeah, had a bad game. All right. More coming up with Woody Paige. Woody Paige is going to join us here to talk to Shanahan's and some football and how they deal with running backs and all that stuff. That's coming up brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. I just got one this past Saturday, and it is quick. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Expert technicians, they check your fluids, they check your tire pressure, wipers, windshield wipers. You need those right now, no doubt about that. Your lights, your batteries, and much, much more. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time. Most of the time.
I have started to hear from Eagle fans. They're stunting on us, man. They're stunting on us. They're rolling right now. I don't think too many people want to fire Nick Sirianni anymore. A little premature with that one. Damn good coach. I mean, I'm not saying he's Shanahan or anything like that, but Sirianni, he irks me. He rubs me the wrong way. I don't feel him at all, but you know what? Philadelphia wins a lot of football games under that guy. They win a lot of games. Right now, the Niners aren't winning a lot of games. And we need to figure out what the hell's going on and whether or not this is the beginning of the end of Kyle Shanahan and his tenure with the 49ers. It's been 8 years in. And a lot of people have Shanahan fatigue. Now, I'm not saying fire him. I don't think you should at all. But we're going to get to know Mike Shanahan and what he did in Denver and how it ended in Denver. I'm going to talk to Woody Paige in just a second, Shasky, about the Shanahans and Mike and Kyle and the way he uses running backs. But, man, a lot of doom and gloom with the 49ers these days, man. It is a stinky feeling right now.
It just feels like we haven't gotten over last year. Psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and it feels like we've hit a wall. And you know, as much as I want to see them go on another deep run, and sometimes the best thing to happen is the season hits a thudding crash because it makes you address your real true deficiencies, and you don't think you're that close to your ultimate goal. So I don't know, man, but I still want to see them go on a run.
All right, let's bring in Woody Paige, the all-time winner on Around the Horn, one of my favorite shows. He's one of the originators on Around the Horn. He's been with the Denver Gazette for quite some time after spending a long time with the Denver Post. He's covered the Broncos, the Avalanche, Nuggets. He's done it all. He's a Colorado Sports Hall of Famer, and he's Around the Horn Hall of Famer. Woody Paige, one of my favorites here on the River Islands guest line. Woody, thanks so much for joining us this morning. How are you doing today?
Well, I was doing great until you just read off my obituary.
Come on, Woody. You're on LQ, man. No, you're an accomplished man. We gotta talk about the resume. Maybe you should be proud of that. Pat yourself on the back. And you've been around so long, Woody, that you covered Mike Shanahan for so many years as he was a head coach of the Broncos from 95 to about 2008. And there's a lot of talk about Kyle Shanahan, obviously the son of Mike, and he learned the game through his father and whatnot. And a lot of people out here on the West Coast in the Bay Area, they want Kyle gone. There's a lot of rhetoric about firing Kyle Shanahan, and he's been so successful with this organization. I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to know how it ended in Denver and if there was similar dialogue about Mike Shanahan towards the tail end of his tenure in Denver. Obviously, he won back-to-back Super Bowls, and he had a lot of success with a lot of different running backs. But how did it end in Denver with Mike Shanahan? Did people just get tired of him? Did it become stale out there in Denver, Woody?
That's a very good question. Nobody's asked me that lately. But what happened is after that Super Bowl run, back-to-back, the Broncos lost a guy named John Elway. And Mike Shanahan, and the question always was about Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. Mike Shanahan without John Elway. Well, look what Belichick did after Tom Brady retired from, or moved on to Tampa Bay, I should say. And that's sort of what happened in Denver. Mike Shanahan, just a short history lesson, but the Broncos had drafted Brian Griese, who's back out with the 49ers, as you know. And he was supposed to be the successor to John Elway. And as Mike told me at the time, and even Brian would admit it now, from the neck up, Brian Griese was a great quarterback. From the shoulders down, he was a very lousy quarterback. And so that didn't work out for Mike Shanahan. And that basically, and then he brought in Jake Plummer. I'm sure you guys remember him.
Oh, yeah.
And Plummer had one nice year. The Broncos went to the AFC championship game against the Patriots after beating Pittsburgh. And then Mike Shanahan made a bad mistake. He drafted Jay Cutler. And Cutler, as both of you know, Cutler had a really mediocre career. One playoff appearance with the Chicago Bears after they got rid of him and brought in Cal Orton, who was much. But it might have been fatigue in regard to not Mike Shanahan's fatigue, but the fatigue of Pat Bowlen, the late owner of the Denver Broncos, and so many people around Denver going, yeah, they had should have won the Super Bowl in 1995, and they were upset by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then the next 1996, then the next 2 years, they won the Super Bowl. But it was a very average team. If you look, Mike's last 6-7 years, they had an overall 500 record. And so you have fan fatigue, you have media fatigue, you have ownership fatigue, and that seems to be happening out there. Mike got off to a slow, Cal got off to a slow start with 49ers, and then you know, came around, and it became one of the best teams in organizations in football. And now there's the obvious fatigue that's setting in there. As you pointed out, that people think Cal Shanahan has changed as a coach, which isn't certainly obvious, but I'm not going to tell you anything you guys don't already know. The McCaffrey situation, you got a situation there where he's not come back strong after being injured most of the year. He had, I guess, his most carries this past weekend and lost to Seattle. But Mason may be a better running back even now, and maybe he needs more ticks. Mike Shanahan had a great offensive line and a great offensive concept in running the football.
Yeah,
people think about John Elway, but it was basically those 1,000-yard runners that came through here, including Terrell Davis, Hall of Famer, and the running game at the 49ers has dissipated. It's not the same strength of the team that it was in the last several years. And the defensive pressure because of injuries, Bosa being, I guess, the latest, and the young man that's been brought in, Garvin, does not, Joe Namath and I are friends, and when he played for the Jets, they'd go on the road, and he'd usually end up the evening with someone very nice. And one night in Pittsburgh, Bay Perley was his backup quarterback. And at about 10 o'clock, Joe Namath walked out of the bar with a woman, and all of his teammates said, Joe, what are you doing? And he said, guys, it's midnight and Miss America ain't coming in. So that's kind of, guess what? 49ers, Miss America ain't coming in.
All right, Woody, we got Woody Page with us here. Just an absolute legend. Denver Gazette, all-time winner on Around the Horn. And no, I'm not reading your obituary.
Adding Garvin to the practice squad is not Miss America coming in at midnight.
No, what is your feel and your read? Because you brought up CMC. Bonte's talked about it for a decade since Kyle got here. Like, the Shanahans, they'll go through running backs. They'll cycle through them. And we thought we hit on one in CMC, and he had a monster year. And then he got hurt. And then it looked like Jordan Mason was having a monster year. And now they're back to CMC, and we're seeing none of Mason. What's your feel on how he's used the running backs? Is there any similarities between Mike and Kyle in that sense, or are they different?
Well, I think when you are run-dominated, even though you think about, again, Mike Shanahan with John Elway, that running backs have a short shelf life. You better get it out of them while you can, because, I mean, we don't see a Henry or a Barkley that can sustain it over the course of the season. Particularly when you add, you know, you guys know, when you add more games to an AFL, you're putting more pressure, more injuries, more possibilities of downfall than what happened in, you know, 16 game seasons, or me going back to 14 game seasons. I think I'd go back to 8 game seasons covering this.
Leather helmets, Woody? Is that what you said? No face mask?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't cover the 1918 Chicago Black Sox, but it was there shortly after, I think.
27 Yankees.
you use up running backs. That's why they don't make the same kind of money they used to make. I mean, they were the premier divas in the league, and now it's wide receivers, because wide receivers tend to have longer and more successful careers. And you try. I believe, just from, you know, being an observer of this game for 50 years, that you use up those running backs pretty quickly. I would do more with Mason and McCaffrey, and try not to push McCaffrey into, you know, 25 carries a game, or, you know, touches of 35. He's still, you know, coming off an incredible injury. And I just tell you, as an aside, it's really funny that I've known Mike Shanahan since he just came in the league. He came from Florida, mm-hmm, and was bought in by Dan Reeves, the late Dan Reeves, to sort of tutor, even though he was younger than John Elway, to tutor John Elway. And he figured out that the strength, and became offensive coordinator of the Broncos, that the strength of that team was a veteran offensive line and using those running backs and finding guys that could rush for him. And they had that strong offensive line, as I said, and I'm seeing the same results. Mike Shanahan's wife, Peggy, it was my interior decorator when he came in. That's when he was not making very much money. And the McCaffreys, I know the entire family. I lived like two blocks from them for years, so I've known Christian since he was a kid. I've known Kyle since he was a kid.
So you know Mike for so long, and you know Kyle as a kid. What's Mike's role with the 49ers? What do you think Mike is doing with the 49ers? Well, is he still involved?
Mike's got Mike's name is on a restaurant, Steakhouse, here, and I saw him about 3 weeks ago, because we were talking about the Hall of Fame. He doesn't want to discuss it, but he's the next strongest coaching, even though Belichick's out of the game. I think Mike's the next one to go in. And I've asked him his role. He sold his home in Denver. He lives a lot in Mexico. He lives in San Francisco. They have grandkids in different places. He watches every practice on a laptop. He and his son talk regularly, if not daily, and he offers up, because Mike was called the mastermind. He's a brilliant coach for years and years. But again, we go back to what you said at the beginning. People get tired of losing. That's what happened in Denver. After the 49ers and the Broncos were the greatest franchises in the NFL in the 90s. And then the Broncos, you know, went to pits. I was looking for a word that was a four-letter word, and that was
don't
not
worry. Everybody curses on the show, Woody. People are comfortable cursing on the show, so you will fit right in.
I'm just saying that it's kind of deja vu for the Shannon and family, because Kyle's now going through what Mike went through. But you know, you still have a Super Bowl that the parents, it's right in your rearview mirror, so it's too early. And the funny story that maybe has not been told much out there is that John Elway tried to bring back Mike Shanahan after Vance Joseph's rookie season as a head coach. And because of the health of Pat Bowlen, a guy named Joe Ellis, who was his concierge, and I mean that, I did that, but as the president might say, I use that word incorrectly on purpose, but Joe Ellis was the one who basically poo-pawed John Elway bringing Mike Shanahan back, so he never had another coaching job. But father and son, in regard to San Francisco, Mike's always there for Kyle. Mike doesn't call anything during the games. He doesn't, Al Davis used to call his coaches on the sideline and go, here's plays for you to run. And I was around when Al Davis called down to the sideline to John Madden and got Red Miller, the Broncos coach, instead. The phones got hooked up incorrectly.
Woody, let me ask you this question. We see Mike at all the games. Bonte sits right underneath his like press box, and so
the suite,
where he sees Mike all the time. I mean, so they're basically running it together, huh? The Niners, like, they've kind of got carte blanche. He must like it out here if he's living in Mexico and in San Francisco, you know, basically full time.
Yeah, he makes regular appearances in Denver because he still has family here. But I would just say that he's not running the team, but he is a lot of teams now. That just happened in Baltimore, where the Ravens brought back Don Pease, the ex-coordinator, because they have a rookie defensive coordinator, and they brought Pease out of retirement, and you've seen a change in the Ravens. So that's kind of the role that Mike, he's not at practices most of the time, but he's there. His presence is felt in the coaching staff, and his philosophies and not orders, but his suggestions, I'll put it that way, recommendations are taken. But you can't run an offense. I would say this about Mike. Mike never paid much attention to defense, and as a result of that, he ran through a lot of defensive coordinators, and Kyle's kind of the same way. He turns the defense over to a coordinator because he's so intent on, you know, running the offense by himself. But I think two things have to happen there. Just from a distance, again, and I'm not out there, and if people want to call and say, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about, they're probably correct. But I've been on, you know, national TV for the last 25 years. I don't know how long, much longer that's going to last, according to what I read in the papers. But,
what a flex.
Anyway, so I may not be qualified much longer to talk about anything. But I would just say that I think Kyle needs to lean less on his father and more on Brian Griese, who is a student of Mike Shanahan. Mm. And I think that he also maybe needs to take a little bit more. I thought Mike's mistake was he didn't take a little bit more interest in the defense, and I would say that for Kyle, because it's not only the running game, but it's also what you guys have seen out there in the defensive line and the defensive rush. It's not of the strength that it's been in the past. I mean, and so you got to control the lines. You know, I'm not telling you guys anything or anybody that's listening anything. You got to control both lines of scrimmage, and they're not doing that. And that's the result. They're putting themselves in third and longs, and that's not when Purdy's at his best, honestly. And the Mike Shanahan philosophy, which Kyle Shanahan follows, was you try and pick up 6-7 yards on first down. Don't put yourself in third down positions. Well, when that stopped happening in Denver because of changes in the offensive line, we're seeing that kind of happen in San Francisco, where you're not getting 6 and 7 yards on a running play on first down, so you're being pressed into more third downs. Defensively, you're not stopping third downs. I can't give you the exact statistic, but I've seen the 49ers enough to know you're not stopping people on third down. So you're not making on third downs, you're not stopping on. So offensive and defensive lines, defensive rush, getting yardage early on. I think there'll be some changes significantly on both sides coming up, because the 49ers have got to go on a 3-1 run. And they don't have the easiest schedule. Going to Buffalo is, you know,
no doubt.
Past the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not going to be a bargain.
No doubt, Woody. And, no doubt. Woody, we got to run here. We're hitting against it. We got to do this again, man. We can do story time with you all day, every day. So, Woody, we appreciate the time this morning.
I appreciate the invitation, and I wish you guys well. I listen to you every time I'm in town, and I haven't been in town in a couple of years.
You probably turned it off so damn quick, like, ooh, who are these jabronis, man? It ain't, who's my guy Benjamin Albright out there in Denver, man, with a KOA radio or something like that. Woody, man, you're the best, man. We always enjoy you on the Ride Horn. Big fan of you, man. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Anytime. Denver Gazette, Woody Page, all-time winner on the Round the Horn, Colorado Sports Hall of Fame. He definitely gave John Miller a run for his money with long answers, but it's okay. There's a lot. Fontaine. If you shift through the answers, there's a lot there. Mike is heavily involved in the 49ers, which, something we all assumed.
Well, you and I knew this from the beginning.
But the fact that he ran into Mike 3 weeks ago at a steakhouse, and he's watching all the practices. Yeah. He's got input and everything. And I sent you guys a picture of Mike in a suite. Mike's heavily involved. And he thinks that Mike needs to take a step back and Kyle needs to go to Brian Greasy a little bit more. That was that. If he could sift through all the stuff, what he said, that to me was pretty fascinating.
So it's the family business is football, right?
Yep.
The family business is football. So this applies to lots of different things. It doesn't just apply to sports. Like, if your father was a plumber and you become a plumber and you grew up in the industry, a lot of things that you learned were from your father in, you know, riding around in the truck or whatever. Let's say your father wasn't and your first journeyman as an apprentice, they're going to shape you, right? And so that's going to formulate a lot of your opinions. Not all of them, but a lot of your opinions. I think about this all the time because, you know, I've been coaching forever, not on the professional level like Kyle, but a lot of my philosophies on coaching and sports and stuff were formulated by my dad, by the Schneiders, by Steve Phelps, by different people who coached me growing up. And that's what formulated the practice strategies, ideas, how I view the game. And I'm constantly evolving. But at the end of the day, when I started coaching, I'd get text messages during the game from my dad in center field. I would get talked to after basketball games on what I should do, shouldn't do. I'm like, bro, you haven't coached in 20 years, dude. Relax. And I can't imagine if your dad is a 2-time Super Bowl champion coach.
Borderline Hall of Famer.
Who also was a brilliant offensive coordinator on one of the most explosive offenses of all time. Who helped regenerate an entire version of offense. If that was your father and you learned at the feet of him, how could you not ask him for advice and ask to pick his brain? It's smart. It's what you should be doing.
He held the cord.
I'm not surprised at all.
He held the cord for him at the Super Bowl when they beat the Green Bay Packers. He was holding the cord at a headset, following his father around, a young Kyle Shanahan there. But a lot of insight there from Woody Page about Mike, the way it ended in Denver. When he first started in Denver, he knows his wife. She decorated his home. crazy little insight there. But he believes that he needs a lean on Brian Greasy a little bit more. But also, John Elway believed in Mike so much that when Vance Joseph got fired, he wanted Mike to coach the Broncos again.
Monty, I remember when Kyle got hired, there were people in the media suggesting Mike should be the coach.
Yes.
Kyle should be the OC.
No doubt.
Remember?
Well, the Raiders, Mark Davis went to go interview Mike Shanahan, and Greg Popper went crazy. Like, you can't do that the way he did the Raiders and the whole lawsuit there with Al Davis. You know, a lot of that stuff, man, cost him his job. That's what you're going to say, Spinotti? You guys down the line, man. You guys like.
I haven't said anything down the line.
I was just
listening
to you.
Your ear.
No, I didn't get anything in your ear.
Well, neither did he. Did I say anything to you, Joe?
Hey, TL's going to join us in moments here. TL's going to join us.
Wait, Terrell Owens?
Terrell Owens, yes.
Friend of Deion Sanders?
No, we're talking turnover. And, you know, if Woody wasn't so long-winded, I wanted to ask him about the Colorado program. You knew he was going to have to say about Shador in prime time.
You've seen the end of Usual Suspects, right?
I have.
Yeah, and like that, he's gone. That will be the end of this season with Deion and Shadur. I'm not sure if you need to know that or not, but yeah, Deion's gone.
You think Deion's gone?
I think Deion's gone. I think he's trampolining on out of there, and I think he's got options.
Dallas Cowboys options?
Cowboys, Raiders, you know, I mean, who knows?
What if he's getting a lot of recruits in Colorado. He said he stayed. Somebody asked him a question last week.
I'm getting a lot of recruits in Colorado. Of course he is. He's Deion.
Prime time,
of
man.
Of course he is.
He's got War Sapp out. Hey, they might win the Big 12. Big game against Kansas this week.
That's an accomplishment.
What do you mean? That's not an poo-poo Colorado. We didn't think they were going to win five games this year.
I'm saying that the Big 12 got gutted the last few years.
So what, though? You can't say, hey, you can't poo-poo on the Big 12 and what Colorado's doing. What an accomplishment they're making. Oh, seriously, Travis Hunter.
They've had who's the premier program in the Big 12 right now?
That's what I'm saying. Like, Oklahoma's gone. Texas is gone. I'm not
talking. Well, no, the ACC is booty. ACC and Big 12 are just undefeated.
BYU has some good wins.
I love that you're fighting for the sanctity of the Big 12.
No, come on. Colorado.
Fonte, the Big 12 is not.
Think about where Colorado was.
I'm not downplaying what Colorado's done. No one's downplaying what Colorado's done. They're doing it in a gutted out Big 12.
You go tell Buffalo fans, Colorado Buffalo fans, whether or not it's an accomplishment.
It's a great accomplishment for this year, but like last year's Big 12 would have been a lot more impressive to win than this year's Big 12.
Exactly.
Who was in last year's Big 12?
Texas. They're pretty good, I guess. Yeah, Texas. I mean, they're only won the national championship game. They're in the Final Four. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. Yeah, they were trash.
They got smoked by a Pac-12 team.
Well, that Pac-12 team's in the Big 10.
I love how big of a Buff fan you are.
I'm not a big Buff fan. I'm pulling. No, people like to see. We can't just celebrate good things. He goes to that program.
Both are true. We're saying it's a great accomplishment.
No. You just poo-pooed.
We said the
Big
12 stinks.
You just poo-pooed on them.
On the Big 12, because the Big 12 is basically poo-poo compared to what it used to be.
That's some accomplishment to win the Big 12. And Colorado gets into the college football playoff. You go poo-poo on that accomplishment?
Well, if they play Georgia or Bama or something.
They get put in their place? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it depends who they play.
Oh, my gosh. We're out here trying to win the NFC West, and the Arizona Cardinals are 6-4. Ain't nobody poo-pooing on that division.
Well, that's the NFC NFL. West.
Exactly. Stop. Like, what? Stop. You guys disrespect the South divisions every single year. Stop it.
Yes,
the NFC South.
The NFC South is basically the Big 12 of the NFL.
You got a Miami fan over here. Root for the ACC. That's beating Cal.